or about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We'll be introducing our phone guests in just a few moments, but as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31, beginning at verse 1 again. Proverbs chapter 31, starting at verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless, in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and please plead the cause of the poor and needy. Verses 1 through 9, Proverbs chapter 31. Then skipping back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19, it tells us these words, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Lord, thank you for the fact that you're a God, the God of all life, the God of grace and mercy that you are. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that you call us to be a people who will choose life in every area of life, in all circumstances and under all situations. Lord, thank you for the privilege you give us to be. We've been called out of the world and into a new relationship with you and a new relationship with each other. And now we have the privilege of being ambassadors for your kingdom and ambassadors of life as well. Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of what that means and how we live that out each and every day, representing your heart, your mind, and your word. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today, we're grateful to have as our phone guest today, Attorney Alan Parker, who is the founder of the ministry, the Justice Foundation. Alan, how are you today?
Very good, Joseph. It's great to be with you.
It's good to have you on once again. And, you know, Alan, you were with us on the broadcast. Actually, it's been a few years ago when you first came on and shared about the wonderful tool that we call the Dear Parent Letter. I'm going to ask if you'll start off, Alan, just tell our listeners a little bit more about you and your ministry, and then specifically about the campaign that you're wanting to use to educate people about the need to address this matter that the Dear Parent Letter addresses. So would you go ahead at this time?
Well, thank you very much, Joseph. I am an attorney. I am the president of the Justice Foundation, mm-hmm. which is a nonprofit public interest litigation foundation. I prefer to call myself sometimes a justice missionary,
okay.
because we try to do justice and share the gospel of Jesus Christ when we can.
Mm-hmm.
And about 16 years ago, the Lord told us to begin to collect the testimonies of women hurt by abortion. And we've taken those cases to courts and legislatures that are considering banning or restricting abortion. And in the process of collecting those women's stories and hearing the pain that abortion causes, and in dealing with crisis pregnancy centers throughout the country, I found out something that most people don't know in America, and that is, once you legalize abortion, then it opens the door for forced abortions because sometimes the abortion is a problem for somebody. I mean, the pregnancy is a problem for someone else, not for the woman who wants to keep that baby, but others begin to pressure her. Mm-hmm. And the little known fact is that forced abortion is illegal throughout the United States. It's illegal in all 50 states of the United States. And the actual crime can take a variety of forms, depending on the coercion and the type of coercion that's used.
Mm-hmm.
But the basic doctrine is this also, even though abortion is legal, and for many of us, including us, it kills a human being, it injures a woman, and it's unjust. So there should be a better way to help women than that. Mm-hmm. We'd like to see it illegal in all circumstances, but it is legal. It is a woman's choice right now. But in order for it to be legal, it must be the voluntary, fully informed consent of the woman.
Alan, let me jump in here real quick. You know, you're sharing something that may seem very simple, but it's huge and it's powerful, and it affects a lot of people in our nation that, again, basically, just to kind of repeat back what you shared, that, again, even though sadly abortion is legal, it's against the law. If the woman wants to keep her baby, it's against the law for a husband, a boyfriend, a dad, or a mom to coerce or force it. Yet, sadly, this happens way too often in our culture. That's basically what you're saying, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And there's three kind of common forced abortions. You've kind of described the one that's the most important or most common, I think, and the one we deal with the most is adult parents forcing a teenage girl to have an abortion because they think they have the right to make the decision, and they don't under the law. The second very common method is the father of the child, and that could be the boyfriend or even a husband, is forcing his spouse or partner to abort his child, maybe because he doesn't want to pay child support or he doesn't want her pregnant. So that's number two. And then the third very common, most common is human trafficking and prostitution. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, if you're engaging in sex frequently, you can get pregnant frequently. And yet the pimp or trafficker may be forcing the woman to have an abortion.
Alan, you know, there are so many tragic and sad sides to this reality. And I think of one is that is so prominent is that in our society, they try to say, well, it's a woman's right. It's a woman's choice to make this. Yet part of what you're touching on is the fact that in many cases, it's not the woman's choice at all. It's a boyfriend that's forcing or pushing her, or a dad or a mom. And again, most of them tend to not realize that it's against the law to force someone. Yet it's too common, just sadly too common.
That's very true. For example, to give you some of the specific examples, let's talk about the adult parent and the minor child, all right? Mm-hmm. But she's old enough to get pregnant, obviously, so we're talking about teenage years. And we got into this kind of slowly over the years. Crisis pregnancy centers would call us and saying someone's forcing their daughter to have an abortion. And what could we do about it? And we started out just sharing some of the testimonies of women who'd been hurt by abortion and the devastation that it caused. We're such an instant gratification society that we want it taken care of right now. Get rid of the problem. I don't want my daughter pregnant. Let's abort 10 minutes. You'll never have to think about it. That's the lie of the abortion industry. But women talk about decades and decades of grief. And we collected those testimonies, and they actually affected the U.S. Supreme Court for good when they upheld the partial birth ban on abortion in the Gonzalez v. Carhart case in 2007. And Justice Kennedy wrote the opinion. And he quoted our women's testimonies. He quoted two pages of our brief where the women were saying they had terrible pain and trauma from abortion. And Justice Kennedy said, it's unexceptional to conclude that some women come to regret aborting the infant life they once created and sustained. Severe depression and loss of esteem can follow. So the Supreme Court says abortion can hurt women. But that doesn't stop some parents. So we had to go a little bit farther. And we eventually just kind of figured it out that it's supposed to be the woman's choice. And even under Roe v. Wade, that was extended to teenagers in a case called the Lottie v. Baird in about 1989. And that's why in some states you can even go to court and get an abortion without your permission, your parents' permission, called a judicial bypass. Well, the opposite of that is, if it's a woman's choice, then it's her choice. And here's some of the ways that parents have coerced their children. Most common is, if you don't have this abortion, I'm kicking you out of the house.
Hmm.
Well, that violates the duty of caring for your child until they reach the age of majority, which is 18 in most states. So that's criminal neglect or abandonment. You can't throw your child out on the street because you don't like the fact that they're pregnant. That is neglect or abandonment. Now, you could put your child in a maternity home or send her to live with another relative or something, but you can't just say, if you don't have this abortion, I'm kicking you out. That's child abuse or criminal neglect or abandonment, depending on what state it is. Again, the name of the crime might vary by state, but every state says you have to care for your child until they reach adulthood.
That's right.
Another way parents do it is, I don't care what you say, I'm taking you to the abortion clinic. All right. Well, that can actually be kidnapping, to take someone against their will when you don't have the right to do so, and you don't have the right to force them to have an abortion. Now, in another case, well, this was really a man, but a boyfriend put a gun in his back pocket and said to his girlfriend, get in the car, we're going to the abortion clinic. That's aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, even, to have a gun, but it's also kidnapping. So our Attorney General of Texas just gave us a letter and saying, when you're forcing someone to go somewhere against the will and you don't have the right to do so, that's kidnapping. Now, another thing that parents will sometimes say is, I'm going to beat you within an inch of your life, or I'm going to, you know, use stronger words than that even. Again, that's a physical force or violence or threats of violence is generally child abuse in all states. It can also be aggravated threats, assault. A threat is an assault, a form of assault. So that it can constitute that crime. So again, the technical term may vary, but the basic thing to remember for laymen is, it's illegal to force a woman to have an abortion in every state of the union.
Alan,
and women,
once they know that,
they feel empowered, and there's other ways too.
Would you do this? Would you take time now to pray specifically? There may be someone listening now who may be facing a similar situation, who maybe even is too fearfully even pursue it. But would you just pray for our listeners that they would better both grasp what the truth you're sharing and the need to address it in a God-honoring way? Would you pray for that now?
I would, actually. In fact, I'm praying for a girl who has an appointment at 3 o'clock this afternoon with a crisis pregnancy center that called us this morning. And her father is forcing her to have an abortion, and the father and the girl are coming in. So, Father, I pray that as they give him the Dear Parent letter, he'll understand he can't do this. But, Father, we also pray for every girl who is being forced to have an abortion, every woman who's being forced to have an abortion.
Yes.
Give her the strength and courage to know that it's illegal to force her to have an abortion. No one can coerce her into giving her consent. And I pray that you would let your audience hear this and know it. And when they're faced with a forced abortion, when they hear about it, let them know there are resources through the Justice Foundation and AFA and crisis pregnancy centers. And just to call the police and say, I know of a forced abortion. You need to get in there and stop it. So it is a crime. It's something that can be reported to the police. And, Father, you're a God of justice. We pray for an end to coerced and forced abortions in America. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're coming up on a break now, but I want you to pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest is Attorney Alan Parker, the president of the Justice Foundation. We'll be right back.
Did you know there's an approved healthcare choice just for Christians that's founded on the timeless principles in God's Word? It's not insurance. It's MediShare. Over 189,000 believers across America who love God and share each other's healthcare bills. It's about half the cost of health insurance, and you never pay for medical practices that go against your Christian beliefs. Best of all, the healthcare law includes a special provision for MediShare members. so you don't have to buy insurance or face penalties. MediShare is affordable health care without compromise.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
One of my granddaughter's classmates was killed in a car accident. She was only 3 years old, and it was difficult for everyone involved to grasp her being gone. It seemed so senseless on our end, but for those who are believers, we understood that the Lord makes no mistakes. How we were able to get 2- and 3-year-olds to understand what actually happened was difficult at best, but we shared the love that God has for us and prayed for God to do the rest. And I couldn't help but think about how difficult it is for adults to grasp death. So how in the world were we going to get children to accept what God allowed? In your life, understand that God makes no mistakes. He is all-wise, all-knowing, and omnipresent. He not only knows what's taking place, but is able to adjust the now to make the future what it needs to be. Trust God today and sleep peacefully, knowing that He's got it all under control. Accept what God allows. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Jan Harper, wife of Pastor Bert Harper.
Sometimes it feels like I'm living in a fishbowl. You know what I mean? When your husband is a church leader, your family is constantly being watched. That's why we offer the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat. And our guest speaker this year is American Family Radio's J.J. Jasper.
I'm very excited to be a speaker, and I'll be sharing comedy at this year's Fishbowl Retreat. I'm especially excited that my wife, Melanie, will minister to the pastor's wives. When speaking at women's events, she shares, "If Satan can discourage you, he can defeat you."
If you could use 3 days and 2 nights of relaxation among people who understand your challenges, then join us for the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat.
This year's retreat is scheduled for October 4th through 6th at the Linden Valley Conference Center in Tennessee. Get details at repairingthefoundations.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 300.
And we'll see you there.
You're listening to The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley, looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea, couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody.
The music of Vashawn Mitchell, the song Nobody Greater. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Our guest today is Attorney Alan Parker, who is the president of the ministry, the Justice Foundation. And Alan, let's pick up where you left off. Now, before you kind of go further, I would mention that this is something that might seem ever so simple, yet it's so profound and has far-reaching consequences for so many reasons. I think of this two instances I'm aware of. I recall being told about an instance where there were some sidewalk counselors in Memphis, Tennessee, who were outside a clinic where they witnessed a mother pulling her daughter into an abortion clinic against her will. And so they called the police. And when the police arrived, They told them what they saw, and initially the policeman said, well, there's nothing I can do. They handed the policeman one of your letters, the Dear Parent letter. He read it, and he immediately went into the clinic to retrieve the mom because he realized this is against the law. And so even law enforcement, tragically, sometimes don't know the law on this issue then.
That is correct, and that is why this year, for the first time, we've announced a statewide program in Texas, which is going to be our first state to do it in, to educate police officers and child protective service workers. And we just announced that last week, and actually in the fall then, we're going to have a program to advise school counselors about it, because they're also kind of a group that hears about teenage girls being pregnant and parents forcing them to have an abortion, and they don't know the law. But sadly, even police officers and juvenile authorities, actually, it's not evil or anything. It's normally good advice to give to a teenager, do what your parents tell you. Mm-hmm. But it's just unknown to them that in this area, when the child does not want to kill the child in the womb, or the mother does not, then they don't have to, and they don't have to listen to the parents. They have the right not to. Mm-hmm. So it really usually just takes a little bit of education, and we've been blessed with a letter of introduction and thanks from Attorney General of Texas Ken Paxton, mm-hmm. and then we are send out letters of introduction and offer for this, and we've already received numerous requests to train child protective services and law enforcement. So mm-hmm. we're very excited about it, and it's really not that difficult. It's just unknown at this time. So mm-hmm. we don't need a new law. We just need to enforce the laws that are on the books. So that's right. One of the beauties of this program.
And Alan, this is, and it's correct too, that this is the law in all 50 states, correct?
It is the law in all 50 states. And you mentioned the good results in Tennessee, I think is the state you did. Mm-hmm. Sadly, last year there was a case in Kentucky where the police did not come out and take care of the situation. So we're going to be offering it probably in Kentucky next. Mm-hmm. And there are two cases in Texas where we know of it. Now, the reason we did Texas first is we know of two cases where the child died. And in one case, the parents were actually, the girl, here's the sad way we learned about it. The girl was texting a friend, an adult friend, outside her house in another place. I've locked myself in the bedroom. My parents have already made me take the first pill. I don't want to do this. I'm not going to take the other pill. Mm. Well, that would be the first pill of an illegal abortion regimen, the RU486 probably. Mm-hmm. It's two pills, and she already taken the first one, so she's crying. So we get a call from the adult, what do you do? What do you do? And I said, well, call the police immediately. Mm-hmm. And if we get the call a couple of days before the abortion, mm-hmm. we are often very successful at talking to the parents, giving them the Dear Parent letter, or stopping it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if you get the call in the middle of the action, you just basically got to call the police right away. Mm-hmm. And she did, and then she called me back about 30 minutes later and said, they said there's nothing they can do. Mm-hmm. I felt, oh, terrible. Mm-hmm. I'll call the police. So I called, and I explained the law to them. I took them out there. They eventually sent someone out. It was about 5 or 6 hours later. Mm-hmm. And by that time, the girl was weeping. She didn't want to get her parents in trouble with the law, and she said, I'm just going through with it. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a little, when I'm talking with police officers, it's a little by like the early days of domestic abuse and domestic violence. All police departments are now trained to deal with it. But part of the problem for the child is they're not used to standing up to their parents, and normally they shouldn't. So their will against their parents may be very weak in the first instance anyway. But then they don't want to get their parents in trouble, just like an abused woman in the past would often forgive the man, and forgiveness is good, but if the police don't get involved and stop the criminal action, then it may just happen again in the future.
Right.
So police have learned how to deal with these situations in the face of a witness who may not want to be very forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in all the cases that we've done up to that, I mean, the girl's always saying, no, I don't want the abortion. No, I don't want the abortion. It's easier when we can stop the abortion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's another case where we just did represent a woman who sued her employer for a forced abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if you, well, I don't know if you want to switch to, like, men forcing their partners. That's more that kind of a case.
Mm-hmm.
But,
okay.
We ought to, because this is another thing. Adult women can be forced or coerced.
That's right.
Everybody's probably familiar with sexual harassment lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
Some women say, how in the world could that ever happen? Just say no, just say no. And that's very true. You should say no.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also true that some women are in very vulnerable positions, don't have perhaps a very strong will, and can easily be overpowered by an employer
that's
who
right.
uses economic coercion and duress.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, what it usually starts as, if you don't have sex with me, you'll lose your jobs, or I'll cut your pay, or give you bad hours or something. So
mm-hmm.
that's obviously sexual harassment. That's illegal in every state. That's a federal law.
Mm-hmm.
And there are state laws also. Well, if you have sex, then you can get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a wanted pregnancy usually in that situation. So there can be pressure on a girl, on a woman, to abort then or lose her job or economic benefits.
That's right.
And again, the best thing is to just stand up to the threats, mm-hmm. report it to the authorities and that kind of thing, and get it stopped. But in this case, the woman succumbed to the pressure, and he was known as a bully by his employers.
Right.
And we just settled that lawsuit, agreed to a settlement for a very significant amount of money for the young lady for her injuries, which she should be compensated for.
Right. Well,
we're just moving into that. But again, we try to do is get the. We have a Dear Father of the Child letter on our website that
mm-hmm.
tells the man, you can't force her, you can't abort her, you can't threaten to beat her, you can't use a weapon, you
mm-hmm.
can't threaten to deny child support. That's your legal duty to pay child support, whether you want to or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a father no matter what. And you can't force the woman to get rid of the problem you created if she doesn't want to. So that's illegal, and there's a variety of ways that men use to coerce women into having an abortion.
Alan, would you take time now to pray for families that are facing this? Because, you know, on the one hand, certainly it's important, it's critical for us to get the word out of what the law really states. Yet at the same time, there's lots of ignorance out there where people just don't know the law, but they're facing the situation on their own. But also some that in their minds, they don't want to know the law, because it's not convenient for what they want. But there's such a need for the word to go out. Would you pray for families facing this situation now?
Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Father, we thank you for family.
Thank you.
The way you designed it is good, Lord. There should be a man and a woman committed for life who get married before you and plan to stay married the rest of their life. And then you told them, be fruitful and multiply. That's your plan. It gets so terrible when we get away from your plan.
Yes, Lord.
But you are a redeemer, and you do forgive sin, and there are ways to get back on the right path. Confess our sin. Help those who have sinned to confess their sin. Lord, I believe without massive repentance, our nation is doomed. And this sexual immorality and the shedding innocent blood are two of the four sins that bring national destruction on a wide scale when we do it, Lord, on such a fast scale. So help us to repent. And, Father, I pray for strength in families. So many of the young girls don't have a father. Father, I repent for men who have abandoned their wives. Many women get abortions because they are abandoned by their husbands, and they feel, I don't have the strength to do this on my own. Forgive the fathers and help the women to get the healing. There is help and healing from abortion. It's not the unforgivable sin.
Yes, Lord.
And we have the toll-free number where women can get help for that, Lord. But it's you that are the Redeemer. Help them, Lord, to turn to Jesus and receive healing and salvation.
Thank you.
And Father, father for aunts and uncles and grandmothers, when they hear there's a forced abortion, help them to be bold,
yes,
to tell the adult parents, you can't do this. I know it's illegal. I don't want you to get in trouble. Stop what you're doing. Let's work this through.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, I do thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that this is the law. And thank you for ministries like the Justice Foundation and Alan and others who are out there trying to help people learn that this really is the law. Thank you for a ministry that would train law enforcement and parents and teachers and doctors and others in positions to do something about it, to know what the law is and to uphold the law. Father, raise up more and more ministries and individuals, just persons that are willing to get copies of the letter and distribute them in their local schools, to their local police departments, and by way of internet and hard copies as well. But help us, help every listener, every single listener, to take it upon himself or herself to do our part to help share letters like this one to help get the word out and thus use it to save babies and to stand for life. Thank you for this opportunity, and more help us all to know, Lord, that there's something each of us can do to help address this critical kingdom matter. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Alan, you know, I think of, too, an instance where my wife shared this. She spoke to a young lady who'd had an abortion, but her story was very tragic, and it relates directly to what you're speaking of. In her case, her boyfriend had gotten her pregnant, and she was, I think, actually happy that she was pregnant. But when she told him, his reaction was he didn't say a word to her verbally. He just took her and threw her against the wall and said, you're going to get an abortion. And she did just what he said. That doesn't sound like a woman's choice at all.
Absolutely. And there's a crime right there of assault. And that's a crime. So, and when she signed a form at the abortion clinic that said, I do consent, it wasn't voluntary.
That's right.
That's called duress. Mm-hmm. And that's a tort in every, a civil crime in every state. What he did, throwing her against the wall, again, that's assault. And then it may be that medical malpractice occurred. It varies a little bit, but here's why. An abortion to be legal has to have the voluntary informed consent of the patient. Mm-hmm. And it's the professional's duty, the doctor's duty, to make sure he has the informed consent of the patient.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that domestic partner abuse is very widespread in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And women have been killed for not getting an abortion. And they may be there under threat of duress. We actually have another form that we use with the crisis pregnancy centers where if the, like this afternoon at 3, a woman is going in and they're going to give her a form to sign where she can tell the abortionist, I may be with you, and I may not be able to tell you I don't want the abortion because someone is forcing me, but I don't want the abortion. And then the pregnancy center sends that out to all the abortion clinics in the area.
Mm-hmm.
That's another way to prevent it. But it is his duty to do it. And if a woman's crying and weeping, I believe that the professional has a duty to ascertain whether or not this is truly her voluntary decision or whether it's the result of economic duress, threats, violence, or other illegal means of getting her to do what somebody else wants her to do. And a good way to think about it is this. Here's just a soundbite and or a short legal thing.
I tell you, I'm going to have to jump in. We're coming up on a break once again, but we'll pick up right there. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest is attorney Alan Parker, the president of the Justice Foundation. We'll be right back.
Coming next week on The Dwelling Place, Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible line by line and verse by verse to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
The Dwelling Place with Al Pittman, weekdays at 2:30 and 10:30 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
I'm Will Addison, director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, the sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time to know what Israel ought to do. In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for his service. Join the movement at urbanfamilytalk.com.
People often wonder how God can even hear the prayers of everyone in the world, let alone give them individual attention. But Dr. Tony Evans says even humans can do something similar. He'll explain what it is as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Many of you have access to Netflix and iTunes. They have a set amount of movies that you can pull down. Millions of people can order the same movie at the same time or different times, and it's still gonna show up on everybody's screen. Man is so talented that they have created a technological world in which the amount of people are irrelevant. Well, now, if puny men can come up with technology piggybacking off of God for you to get 24/7 attention on the movie you order along with millions of other people, how much more do you think the eternal creation God can address millions of people at the same time or different times who come to him using the order form he has authorized? I don't need your Netflix account if I got my own account. Okay? So God says, before you talk to your kinfolk, before you talk to your best friend, before you talk to your wife, before you talk to the powers that be, how about check it with me? Because if you check with me first, you may not need to have all those other conversations.
Dr. Evans has an extensive collection of messages online, something to speak to any need. Browse our library today by visiting us at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
This is the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Music of Mandisa, the song God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. You're on Urban Family Talk. Our guest today is attorney Alan Parker, the president of the Justice Foundation. Alan, as we start off in this last segment, would you share with our listeners, some listeners may want to get a copy of the Dear Parent Letter, the Dear Client Letter, or any of a number of those letters. How would they get a copy or get copies of those?
The best thing would be to go to our website, thejusticefoundation.org, okay. Or the short form of that is txjf.org, because we started out as the Texas Justice Foundation and still do business in Texas under that. So txjf.org, and up at the top it says Forced Abortions. Click that, and all of this material, and even one-hour training sessions on how to use some of it if you're a crisis pregnancy center or something, is all right there on the website, all free and available for anybody to use.
Okay, and who would you suggest should get copies of the letter?
I think if anyone is working with youth, they ought to get a copy of the Dear Parent letter and distribute it at youth groups or in high schools. Because often those are the ones who hear, oh, Sally's pregnant. Did you hear? Her parents are making her get an abortion. Ma'am, you can stop that and help Sally. School counselors, so youth groups and churches, anybody dealing with youth, and anybody really just in, say, young adult and youth Bible study groups or things like that, anybody dealing with young people. But it can be married women also who are coerced to have abortions. So there's as many married women getting abortions as there are teenagers. So we need to not just think of it as a young teenager problem.
Right. Well, you know, Alan, it was, I think it'd be wise for every single listener to download the letter and just pray and say, Lord, show me where to share and distribute it, because I know of an instance where a high school counselor, because she had the letter and gave it to a young lady whose parents were trying to coerce her to get an abortion, it saved a baby. And
yes,
so,
it did.
And I like to share the story, too, that I think I've shared with you, though, but an instance where, to this day, outside of the sovereignty of God and the Holy Spirit, don't know quite how this happened, but in our office here, Urban Family, American Family Association, is located here in Tupelo, Mississippi, got a phone call from a young lady in a, well, it's a, one of the biggest cities in the U.S., far, far away from Mississippi, and to this day, again, don't know how, outside of God's sovereignty, but she called and said, she was 17 years old, and she said, my parents are scheduled to get an abortion tomorrow. Can you help me? All we did was we emailed her the letter and encouraged her to show it to her parents. Well, the next day, didn't hear from her, so I was a little concerned. I called. She was actually at the abortion clinic when I called. Her mom had taken her. But she had the letter. She did get it by email, but she hadn't shown it to her mom. Well, of course, I wanted to say, why didn't you show your mom the letter? But I didn't say that. I did encourage her, please show your mom the letter. Well, later in the day, we did hear back from them. And she showed her mom the letter and the clinic workers knew we cannot legally do this abortion. And mom was not happy, but no abortion happened. But they did do an ultrasound, and they found out this young lady was carrying twins. So the Holy Spirit used the letter not just to save one baby that day, but two babies. And so the tool is a powerful tool if any believer will get it and distribute it in strategic places, in your local high schools, middle schools, pastors, youth directors, like you said, Alan. There's so many places where this letter can be a powerful tool to save babies if we'll simply distribute it far and wide.
That's a very good point. And I sometimes tell them, the young women, I often, your parents have a right to be mad at you if you're pregnant and unmarried, and, but they don't have a right to force you to have an abortion.
That's
you
right.
need to ask God for forgiveness and your parents for forgiveness, and then get back on the right path. And something else that's kind of the law in all 50 states that is unknown are the Baby Moses or Safe Haven laws. No woman has to take care of a child if she's pregnant and doesn't want to. That's why most women get abortions, is because they don't want to take care of the child. But all states now say that you can turn your baby over to the state by dropping him or her off at a fire station or hospital, usually within 30, 60, or 90 days of birth, a short time after birth, and no questions asked. The state will take care of the baby. You don't have to do anything else. You can go to college. You can have a career. You can do whatever you want. And that is called the Baby Moses or Safe Haven laws, and there's a Safe Haven Alliance where you can find out the law of your state. So you could wait till you're pregnant. If you're afraid, oh, I don't know if I can take care of a baby, wait till you're pregnant, try it out a little bit. I mean, wait till your baby's born, try it out, and then if it's too much, you can turn that baby over to the state.
That's right.
Not kill your baby, not injure yourself deeply, that you'd like you do through abortion, and provide that baby life.
That's right. And, of course, a whole other side to that is adoption is a wonderful choice for a young woman that's not a woman that's not in a position to keep her baby. And there's so many people out there that long to have children that haven't been able to themselves and would love to adopt that baby if given the opportunity, you know. So, well, our time is almost gone. Would there be a few other things you'd like to share in relation to both the campaign that you're involved in promoting the letter, the use of it, and other sides of this issue?
Yes. If someone is close with law enforcement in another state, we probably would be willing to do the training for them also, but we're really launching it out right now in Texas. Mm-hmm. But if you're very close to someone in law enforcement and think they'd be interested, talk to them or give us a call, and we could get together. I do want to pray for our country. I believe without massive repentance, we're doomed as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
But God is still saying, America, return to me, and I will return to you.
That's right.
We've committed the four great sins a nation can commit that bring national destruction. Number one is turning against God. Number two is shedding innocent blood. Number three is sexual immorality. And four is greed.
Mm-hmm.
And we're guilty on a mass scale of all of those.
Mm-hmm.
And the only remedy is repentance or judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we need repentance rather than the judgment of Almighty God.
Amen.
He disciplines those he loves, and mm-hmm. he punishes wrongdoing because he's just.
That's
and he
right.
has to at some point. But with repentance, meaning, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for my sins. Help me to turn for you. I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. That will give you eternal life and coming out of judgment.
That's right. Would you take time to pray now for our nation then and our government?
Amen, Lord. Father, I pray for repentance preaching to arise.
Thank you.
We need salvation. We need repentance.
Yes,
and we need repentance preaching. You said, pray for workers to go into the harvest. And I pray that everyone who hears this prayer will join me in praying for repentance preaching, but that we also will become bold witnesses for Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Father, we're blessed when they insult us and persecute us for your name's sake. You said our reward would be great. So thank you, Jesus. You're worthy of the reward of our suffering and your suffering. And we ask you for boldness and courage for Christians again to rise up and be the light of the world as you told us we should be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, I do thank you and I praise you, Father, for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Lord, Father, you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you're bigger than all the problems, all the challenges, all the storms that are going on in our culture and in our nation today. Father, I ask that you'd flood our land and our nation with the spirit of repentance. Help us as a people. We've sinned in so many ways. Help us to repent of our wrong. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to rise up and just to seek your face and to seek your way and to help us as a nation to turn from the wrongdoing and evil, put it behind us, and begin to really run after your word and your will and your way of doing things. And more move upon us as a church to boldly proclaim your truth, which can bring healing and wholeness to our land. And help us to stand on your word and to not be afraid to speak what we know to be your word and your will. And Lord, raise up more and more courageous pastors and preachers and prophets and courageous witnesses, men and women who will stand up and stand for truth no matter what the consequence, knowing that we are ambassadors for your kingdom, your word and your will. Help us to be faithful ambassadors wherever we may go. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Alan, would you share with our listeners again, if listeners are wanting just to learn more about the Justice Foundation and what you're doing both in Texas, but also more about these and other tools they can get from your website. Again, tell them how they can get that.
The best is thejusticefoundation.org. And our telephone number is 1-866-4-OUTCRY. That's 866-4-OUTCRY. If you're in the middle of a forced abortion or hear about one, we're happy to help you, walk you through it, give you the tips and tools that you need. And so we're here to help if you're dealing with a forced abortion.
Mm, okay. You know, Alan, as I think about just the whole scenario behind so many of these tragic situations, you know, so many times when you have parents that feel like it's in their daughter's best interest when she's gotten pregnant at what in their mind, you know, in what appears to be an inconvenient time or difficult situation. And so many times the dad and mom will think, well, we know what's best for you. We know what's in your best interest. And There's no way that you can, your life will turn out right if you keep this baby. And they're trying to force the abortion. But then something happens, and the abortion doesn't happen, and the baby's born. You know, it's almost comical that the persons that fall in love with the baby more than anybody else is the dad and the mom.
And the grandparents now.
The grandparents,
the baby.
Right.
Exactly.
And yet, tragically, when they do go through with it, so many times, sooner or later, that dad and mom will realize, I killed my grandbaby. I took the life of my grandchild. So it's such a tragedy when it happens. And there's so much collateral damage in a family when abortion happens to the daughter, to the parents, to the relationships within the family. It's like, again, like tossing a grenade in that family. There's lots and lots of damage that occurs. And sadly, many times it doesn't go away in a few weeks. It's months, years, and decades. And sometimes the issues are never resolved, tragically so.
And there is hope and healing after abortion. There is a very good ministry, the International Helpline for Abortion Recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Is manned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. International Helpline for Abortion Recovery, 1-866-482-LIFE.
Amen.
866-482-LIFE, or International Helpline for Abortion Recovery.
Amen.
And you can get the help and healing you need if you or a family member or someone you know has had abortion.
That's right. And that's such an important reminder to end the program on, Alan. You know that, again, we serve a God that's so merciful. He's so gracious. He's a forgiving God that if we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's a God of mercy, and he will forgive, and he can bring that healing. Would you just in the next 30 seconds, just pray for those persons who've been down the road of abortion for healing and wholeness in their lives?
All right, and thank you for allowing me to be on the show with you and to address this important issue.
Okay.
Father, we just thank you
Lord.
For
thank
your
you,
love, Jesus. Your thank kindness, you. Your redeeming life.
Thank
you died on the cross for our sins.
Yes, Lord.
Even
yes,
the sin of abortion, Lord.
Thank you,
and some of the women have felt and told me, they could never be forgiven by God, but that is wrong. You are a forgiving God. You
yes.
forgive. And I thank you that you
thank
offer
you.
That healing and hope to those
thank
who turn to you for salvation and healing.
Thank you,
and Father, we pray that you would comfort those who mourn
yes,
for whatever reason. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Alan, for being on the broadcast with us today. We appreciate your time so much. All righty. And thank you for being a part of our listening family today and tuning in. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.